chapter 25 tonight, Exodus chapter 25. Our Old Testament book that we're studying through together is the book of Exodus. We've come to Exodus chapter 25, verse number 23. If you're keeping notes, we're preaching down through verse number 30, verses 23 through verse number 30. We're only going to get started tonight. When I began to study on the table of showbread, the Lord just kept pouring it on. And there's a lot of information here, so instead of overloading you, I've just typed to a certain point and I stopped typing. That way I'm not even tempted to go any further, if you understand. So we come to Exodus chapter 25. I'm going to read verses 23 to 30, and we're preaching tonight on the table of showbread. Look at verse number 23. Thou shalt also make a table of shittim wood. 2 cubits shall be the length thereof, and 1 cubit the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof. Thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, and make thereto a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt make unto it a border of an handbreadth round about, and thou shalt make a golden crown to the border thereof round about. And thou shalt make for it 4 rings of gold, and put the rings in the 4 corners that are on the 4 feet thereof. Over against the border shall the rings be for places of the staves to bear the table. Thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood and overlay them with gold, that the table may be borne with them. And thou shalt make the dishes thereof, and spoons thereof, and covers thereof, and bowls thereof to cover withal. Of pure gold shalt thou make them, and thou shalt set upon the table showbread before me alway. Now you'll notice in verse number 30 that he says, set upon the table showbread before me always. So that is where I get the title, The Table of Showbread. Let's pray together and we begin this thought. Father, we love you tonight. Speak to our hearts as we study this table that was in the tabernacle. Would you encourage us who are saved to realize what is available in Jesus Christ? And we who are born again, I pray that you help us to feed upon you on a daily basis. And I pray that there's one lost today that's listening under the sound of my voice or listening over the internet by live streaming or even in the future. I pray, Lord God, that you will speak to them and draw them to yourself through this message, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're continuing our study of the tabernacle in this service here tonight. We would do well to remember that the tabernacle was made by God's instructions in order that His presence could dwell among His people on earth. Now we've been looking at how the entire tabernacle is an accurate picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ that God can dwell among sinful man today. Thank God for Jesus Christ. For it is because of His death, His burial, and His resurrection that we can have God dwelling among us. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now we are currently considering the different pieces of furniture that the Lord commanded Moses to have made for the tabernacle in which His presence would dwell among His people. And the first piece of furniture that we've already preached on last time we were in this book together, that first piece of furniture was the Ark of the Covenant. Now, he goes to the second piece of furniture, and he always has a reason for going to the next piece of furniture that he chooses to go to, and that is the making of the table of showbread. Now, as we study this table, I want you to consider, just by means of introduction, what I've already said to you earlier in this service, that a table suggests the idea of fellowship. It suggests the idea of communion, a oneness among 2 or 3 or 5 or 10 people. 1 Corinthians 10:20-21 says, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. We see that table has the idea of having fellowship and communion. One man put it this way, fellowship implies that there are common interests and common objects of affection or pursuit. A table is especially a place of friendly intercourse and communion. There at the table, blessings are enjoyed and partaken of in common between the head and all the members of the family. There the same food is spread alike before all, and there the same sources of refreshment and joy are alike presented to all who are associated together. Now it's interesting to note the likeness here between the ark and the table of showbread. It's been said they were both of the same height, the only pieces of furniture that were so. They're the only two pieces of furniture that were the same height, and that's the ark and the table of showbread. They were both decorated with crown of gold. They were both provided with rings and staves to be carried with the people. And these points of likeness emphasize that the truth here is that it is the person of the God-man that is the basis of all communion with God. Only because of Jesus can sinful man have communion with God Almighty. What a blessing to realize that God was making a way to spread a table of provision, fellowship, and communion for his people in the tabernacle. What a blessing to realize that God, who has been offended by our sin, has made a way to have fellowship and communion with him. This is only through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is pictured as the table of showbread. Now get this. God Almighty, who is an all-holy, all-righteous God, has been offended by our sin. Yet he has made the way where people who offend him can have a chair beside him, pull up a seat, put their feet under his table, and eat with him at the head of the table. Now, friends, let me tell you something. That's enough to shout about. My throat feels like it's expanding or something. I'm getting hot or something up here. I'm unloosening this. I hope you don't mind, because if you do, I'm unloosening it anyway. Amen. That feels a whole lot better right there. Now, what I want to do is I want to take the table of showbread and I want to show you an accurate picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:3 says, "That which we've seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." Now, I want to begin this message with you, and we're just going to get started here. Number one, let's look at the table itself, just the table. This is brought out in verses 23 to 29. I want to give you several things, several particular specifics about the table that give a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we can have communion and fellowship with the Heavenly Father. Now get this. A message like this morning can be applied to right where you live. I mean, it just plowed right in your row. Tonight, it's a little bit different. What I mean by that is this. This is a different style of message. Here's how the Lord is leading me to help you apply it to your life. There are two types of people in the world and two types of people in this room. I hope only one of the types are in this room. And what I mean by that is that it's those who are saved, born again, and those who are lost without Christ. Now, if a church does not have lost people in it every now and then, the church is not doing its job. Amen. Amen. But the fact of the matter is this message is twofold. If you are lost tonight, this is what's available to you through Jesus Christ. But if you are saved, which is an overwhelming majority, if not all of you tonight, you ought to let this message encourage you, because this is what you have in Jesus Christ. In other words, if you're saved, you have this available to you. If you're lost, God wants to give this to you. Are you with me? So here we go, the table. First way it pictures the Lord, here we go now, letter A, just going back and forth, showing you a comparison between the table of showbread and the Lord Jesus Christ that the table pictures, that gives us communion and fellowship with the Lord. Number one, it was made of shittim wood and gold. Does that sound familiar, by the way? That's exactly what the ark was made out of. Now, I remind you here that the making of the ark included both these same items. Where God's presence dwelt was made of shittim wood and gold. Where the table of showbread was, where communion is encouraged, is also made of gold and shittim wood. Now I remind you again that in the shittim wood you have the incorruptible wood that is a picture of the humanity of Jesus Christ, and in the gold you have a picture of the deity of Jesus Christ. So here you see the God-man on display for us. It's vitally important to realize that Jesus, now get this, it's all the way through the Old Testament, it's all the way through the tabernacle, it's all the way through the New Testament. It is vitally important that you understand that Jesus Christ was not just a good man. Friends, listen to me tonight. I know some people mean well when they say he was a good man, you ought to follow his example. I say hogwash. He is not just a good man that we ought to follow his example. Friends, if he is only a good man, let's pack our bags, let's take the Bibles, burn them, go home and do whatever we want to do, because we're all going to burn in hell. Are you listening to me? But I'm glad to announce tonight, I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to see the patriarchs. I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to see my saved loved ones on the other side, because God came in the form of a man, and his name is Jesus Christ. His humanity and his deity are pictured in the shittim wood and the gold. Again, if God had not become man, fellowship with God would be impossible. You can't commune with God just through a man. We can only commune with God because God came so we can commune through God with himself. 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Hebrews 2:14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. So the first way that the table of showbread pictures the Lord Jesus Christ accurately is it was made of shittim wood and gold. It's humanity and deity all together, and that's who Jesus Christ is. Secondly, it pictures him because it had crowns of gold. Notice I said crowns, not a crown, but crowns. It had two crowns. It's interesting to note how there were two crowns of gold as part of this tabernacle. By the way, I have put together, well, Miss Brenda did this for me, gave this to her. She does a great job with it. I didn't draw this or anything. This is in a book I've got. Of the table of showbread, it's available out there on that table. This is for you to take. Take a copy of it. I hope you'll take advantage of this. Take this and look at it. It kind of paints a picture of what I'm preaching tonight, so you can kind of see what I'm looking at. These are out there on the table out in the foyer. Now, you'll notice when you see this and when you read here that in these verses it's brought out that the table of showbread had two crowns. Now, there are different thoughts about the significance of this. See, what it was is there were 12 loaves of bread. There were 12 pieces of bread, equally baking, and all of this, set in a row, six and six, all on an equal plane. And then there was a crown right outside of that to keep the bread in place. Keep it secure. Amen. And then on the outside of that, on the outer part of the table, there was another golden crown. Now there's differences of opinion on why there's two golden crowns. I like it all, I'll be honest with you. So I'm going to give it all to you here. It's been said that one reason there's two crowns is because Christ was crowned twice. He was crowned once with the crown of thorns in Matthew 27:29, and he's coming back and he's going to be crowned again with glory and honor in Hebrews 2:7-9. Another thought is that these golden crowns represent his twofold headship of the church and creation. Now friends, I don't care which side you come down on that. If you say, well, I believe it's because he's the head of the church and creation, you're right anyway, amen. If you say, I believe it's because he was crowned with thorns and he's going to be crowned with glory and honor, you're right anyhow. So can I say, who cares? But what I do know is this, that either way, the golden crowns represent the Lord Jesus Christ as King of kings and Lord of lords. I'm telling you tonight that he is in control. 1 Timothy 6:14 to 16, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. The crowns of gold no doubt picture that Jesus is king. No question. No question. And he is. He was crowned with thorns. He is going to be crowned with glory and honor. And may I say to you that he is the king of creation, and he is the king of his church. And I'm telling you, he is king. On a side note, now I'm applying this table to the Lord Jesus Christ. But as a side note, okay, I'm taking a break from the main thought of the message here, that the table of showbread is Christ, and I'm going to give you a side note that's very interesting. I remind you that the bread on the table is a picture of the Lord, but it can also be a picture of God's children. Now, that being the case, now I'm applying it to the Lord here, but get this. The bread was on the table, and there was a crown of gold around it, holding it in place and keeping the bread secure, so when they moved, the bread could not fall off. Anybody know where I'm going with that? That's just another picture that if you are saved, you are secure in the authority of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It is a picture that if you are on his table, you'll be there safe and secure for all eternity. I'm telling you tonight that we ought to rejoice in who we have as our Savior. Psalm 37:28, for the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever. 2 Timothy 4:18, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. John 17:12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. None of them. So we see that it's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that it was made of shittim wood and gold. He's the God-man. We see it pictures the Lord Jesus Christ, and that it had crowns of gold, picturing him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Number three, it pictures the Lord Jesus Christ, and that it went with God's people everywhere they went. We see this because the Lord commanded that there be rings made for this table, with staves or sticks, if you will, rods that would go through these in order that when they picked up and left, they would take the table with them. Get this. The Israelites went nowhere without the table of showbread. It was constantly with them. It was an ever-present piece of furniture among them. Now, friends, get this. They didn't travel anywhere without that table among them. This is a blessed and encouraging thought, that the Lord Jesus Christ is ever present with God's people. There is absolutely nowhere that a child of God can go that Jesus Christ does not go with us. He has promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Joshua 1:5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Joshua 1:9, if not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. The Bible says in Isaiah 43:2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Hebrews 13:5, I've already quoted it. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know what I'm glad of tonight? I'm glad God's with me no matter where I go. If I'm in the air, 30,000 feet above sea level, or if I'm on the ground or in a coal mine, it doesn't matter where I'm at. If I'm in a house alone or with my whole family around me, if I'm scared to death or feel like nothing can bother me, God is always with me. Let me tell you what the devil tries to get you to think, especially when you're going through trouble. You're all alone. Nobody understands. Nobody knows. Nobody cares. That's simply not true in the child of God's life. God is always there. He never leaves. He never forsakes. That's a picture of the Lord with the table. Major point number two. This is Roman numeral two now. Let's go to the bread. We've looked at the table picturing the Lord and that it was made of shittim wood and gold. That's the God-man. It had crowns of gold. That's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it traveled with them everywhere they went. And that's the Lord. He goes with his children. He doesn't leave them by themselves. Then secondly, let's notice the bread. The second major thing that represents the Lord is the bread that was placed on the table. Now there's no doubt that this bread pictures the Lord. John chapter 6 verse 35 and 51 says, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Now there's several thoughts. I'm going to do the same thing here with the bread that I did with the table. I'm going to give you several thoughts about how the bread pictures Christ. Number one, letter A, if you're keeping notes here. It was all, now get this. The table of showbread was always among God's people. But the bread, number one, was always present before God. Now you say, what do you mean? I want to show you something here. Notice the Bible says in verse number 30, "Thou shalt sit upon the table of showbread," right here, "and thou shalt set upon the table showbread," notice this language, "before me always." Who's speaking? God. And he said, "I want you to put bread on the table that's going to be before me. That's going to be in my presence. That's going to be where I am." Now get this. When he did this, the table, now get this, the table always had bread on it. Always. Once a week, the priests would go in and they would take the old bread off and eat it, but replace it with fresh baked bread. There was, listen to this, the table always had bread on it, always. There was not a time where there was not bread on that table. And that bread, God said, was going to be before him. The Bible calls this bread in Numbers 4:7 and 2 Chronicles 2:4, it calls it continual bread, continual bread, continual bread. It's also been identified as the bread of the face. It's been called the bread of the presence. The emphasis is this: this bread was continually upon the table before God. Here's the point. The Lord Jesus Christ is ever present before the Heavenly Father on behalf of the children of God. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Let me give you some verses and explain what I mean. Hebrews 9:24, "For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true," talking about the tabernacle, "but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." Romans 8:34, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." 1 John 2:1, "My little children, these things write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Hebrews 7:24, "But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood." Can I emphasize what I'm trying to say to you? Is God with his children? Yes or no? Yes, he's always with us. But yet, one reason he can be is because right now as I speak, the Son of God, the bread of life, the bread from heaven, is always constantly at all times before the face of God. And the bread of life is interceding for his children, and he's saying, accept them because of me. Look what I did. It's a great mystery, I know. God the Father, God the Son, all these kind of things. What am I saying? I'm saying God the Son is before God the Father right now, interceding for you, praying for you, begging God for you. And may I say this to you? His prayers are always answered. So this bread was always present before God. Secondly, letter B, it nourished the priest. It took care of the priest. It fed the priest. Every Sabbath, the priest ate the showbread and put fresh bread in its place. It's been said this, the manna in the Old Testament was life-giving bread, but the showbread in the tabernacle was life-sustaining bread. The point is this, those that ate of this bread were priests. Are you listening to me? Every child of God has been made a priest in the sight of God. The Word of God says in 1 Peter 2:9, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. Revelation 1, 5, and 6, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Can I give you a great thought if you're saved tonight? If you're saved tonight, you're a priest. Amen. Not a Catholic priest. Amen. Amen. But you are a priest. You know what that means? Only the priest in the Old Testament could go into the presence of God. But if you're a priest today, it means the veil has been rent, which it has been, and all of God's priests can now approach him and come into his presence. You know, it's a good thing to have people pray for you. That's a good thing. I want you praying for my wife and I really do. We covet that. We desire that. But can I say something to you? If I ask you to pray and I don't pray myself, I'm missing something. I don't have to go through you to get to God. I can go to God myself because I've been made a priest. Now get this. The priests were to feed upon the bread in order to be nourished and sustained. The bread foreshadowed the Father's provision in love to nourish his priest in his presence. Get this. The table of showbread was after the brazen altar, friends. It's after the sacrifice. We're not talking about salvation. We're talking about feeding on Christ. We're talking about feeding on the Lord so that we can fellowship with him on a daily and a weekly basis. This is what God's priests are to do. See, the point here is God's people are completely provided for in the presence of God. You do not come into the presence of God and not have God providing for you. God provides what we need to fellowship with him. The priest had to eat the bread in order to experience its effect. Are you listening to me? They couldn't just look at it and say, boy, that bread looks good. Boy, I'd like to get a taste of that. Boy, I bet that bread right there can help me out. Listen, they had to do more than look at it. They had to eat it. You listening to me? Jesus Christ, yes, he's the bread of life that comes down from heaven, and he satisfies your soul once for eternity. But he wants you to fellowship and commune with him, and he wants you to constantly feed on him. And may I say this to you? When you feed on Jesus, you find out he's all you really need. He's all you really need. We as priests have all we need in Christ. We need to feed upon Christ consistently to be nourished and sustained in this world. Now get this, friends. Do you realize that everybody, God's children and Satan's children, everybody feeds on something? You are feeding on something. You are consuming something to try to keep you going, is what I'm trying to say. And if you're feeding on anything other than Christ, it doesn't satisfy. Only Christ satisfies. And may I say this to you? That's not just a lost world. That's for the children of God too. Don't ever fall prey of going away from the bread and thinking that something else is going to taste a whole lot better to you. You know what I've learned? I've learned the bread's always fresh. Amen, friends. And I've learned it tastes good. Sometimes it has a sour taste going down. Sometimes it steps all over me. Sometimes it's bitter. But can I say something to you? Whether it's bitter or the greatest thing I've ever tasted, when it gets in my stomach, it does the job. Amen. Let me ask you a question. What are you feeding on in this life? What are you feeding on? Are you truly going to the table of showbread every day? They went weekly, once every Sabbath, but God wants us to come every day to the table and partake of His Son and take a bite and chew on Him and fellowship with Him and talk with Him and feed on Him. You know, one of the greatest things you can do as a child of God, feed on Christ daily. Let Him nourish you. Chew on Him. Spend time with Him. And I'm going to conclude with this. This is letter C. Letter C. And we'll be done. The bread was made of fine flour. You'll see this. You'll see this not here, but in the book of Leviticus, chapter 24, verse 5, talking about the table of showbread, and it says this, "And thou shalt take fine flour, and bake 12 cakes thereof, 2/10 deals shall be in one cake." So this is the bread of the tabernacle on the table of showbread here that's being referred to in the book of Leviticus, and it says, "I want you to make it of fine flour." Now in this, we have two beautiful pictures of the Lord, and we'll be done. What does the fine flour mean? I'm telling you, I love studying the Word of God, honestly. I mean, you start studying it, and the Lord starts showing you things, and it's like, that's amazing. Let me give you two thoughts about the fine flour. First of all, the words fine flour in Leviticus chapter 24, verse 5. Now listen to this and see if you can figure out where I'm going first of all. You know what those words mean? It means strip it. It means chip it off. Can I put it this way? Beat the daylights out of it. Listen to this. Someone has said that fine flour is made by beating it and grinding wheat, and the higher the quality of flour, the more beating it has to go through. Now, friends, if you don't know where I'm going here, you got problems. What a picture. What a picture of this bread that pictures the Lord. That if He's going to give what we need, He must suffer. He must be beaten. He must be ground. The Bible says this, Hebrews 2:18, "For in that He Himself has suffered being tempted, He is also able to succor them that are tempted." Hebrews 5:8, "Though He was a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered." 1 Peter 2:23, "Who when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously." 1 Peter 3:18, "Because Christ also suffered for sins once, the righteous for the unrighteous, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but being made alive in the Spirit." 1 Peter 4:1, "For as much then as Christ suffered in the flesh, arm ye yourselves also with the same mind that He hath suffered in the flesh, has ceased from sin." Hey, the next time you feel like quitting, next time you feel like throwing in the towel, life's throwing a curveball at you, and you just want to wave the white flag of surrender, Why don't you stop and think about what he suffered for you? Why don't you stop and think about the beating he took, the grinding he endured, to be able to put bread on the table for you in the presence of God? That's enough right there to meditate on for an entire week, friends. Let me close with this. Secondly, the fine flour, when it's beaten, all these kind of things, the end result is it's consistent all the way through. There are no lumps in it. There's no inconsistencies in it. This is another way that the Lord's perfection is pictured. The fine flour means there's no inconsistencies in it. Beautiful picture of the sinless nature of Christ. He is completely consistent all the way through. This is also pictured in this bread being made without leaven, because leaven in the Word of God is a picture of sin. That's found in Matthew 16, 1 Corinthians 5. But yet Luke chapter 23, verse 47 says, "Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, 'Certainly this was a righteous man.'" The Bible says in Luke 23, 4, "Then said Pilate to the chief priest and to the people," this is when they brought Christ to him and they're going to beat the daylights out of him. I mean, he's going to suffer tremendously. Pilate said, "I find no fault in him." Interesting that the Lord even took his enemies and recorded his words to confirm that there's no sin in this man. Matthew 27, 19, "When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him," talking about Pilate's wife, "saying, 'Have thou nothing to do with that just man?'" Luke 23, 41, "Two thieves are hanging on the cross beside of the Lord. One of them's, actually both of them are railing on him, and then one of them starts changing his tune. He's repenting, and he starts jumping on the other one. Here's what he said. He said, 'We indeed justly.'" In other words, he's saying, "What's happening to us? We indeed justly, for we receive the war, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man," talking about Christ, he said, "this man hath done nothing amiss." The dying thief confirmed, "This man's dying, and he's not worthy to." You know what I'm glad of tonight? I'm glad the table of showbread is alive and doing well. I'm glad the table of showbread still has bread on it today, just like it did many years ago. And I'm glad that he satisfies every day when you go to him and feed upon him. And I want to ask you a question. We're going to continue with this, God willing, Wednesday night. God willing. How much does the table of bread, the table of showbread, mean to you? God has spread a table and he's put fresh bread on it. And he says to his children, "Come have a seat. Talk to me a while. Let me talk to you a little while. Take, eat. This is what you're looking for anyway." What table did you spend the most time at this week? You've been feasting on the table of showbread? Letting him satisfy you? Or you've been trying other things? I'm telling you, why do we make it so difficult? The Lord even says, I'm paraphrasing, that he's all we need. He is. Let's take a seat this week. Amen. Let's put our table, our feet under the table, and let's sit back and enjoy fellowship with God. That's only possible because of Jesus Christ. He is the table of showbread. We'll pick up right there, God willing, on Wednesday night. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you tonight. Help us, I pray. Challenge us with your word. Speak to our hearts. May the will of God be done. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. I want to ask you some questions and we'll be through. Are you truly a child of God? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? Have you taken a bite of the bread of life? Have you taken a drink of the water of life? Are you born again? As they begin to play through softly, I want to ask this question. Is there anybody here tonight you say, Jody, pray for me? If I die just like I am, I do not have assurance that I'm a Christian. I do not know 100% that I'm going to heaven. I want to know that, but I don't know that. Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? Anybody at all? I'm looking. Then here's my question to you. The table of showbread that was made of bread that was fine flour that was beaten and grinded. And it was made consistent with no inconsistencies in it. The bread that was placed on the table that had the golden crowns on it. The bread that was placed on the table that was made of shittim wood and gold. That table is still available. Are you feeding upon it? I want to ask you this question. It's kind of a different question. Have you all at least try, to feed on Christ every day? Here's what I mean. You're walking with God. I'm not asking, are you reading the Bible and praying? That's part of it. I'm asking, are you taking time to feed on Him? See, it's more than just reading. You ought to read. So that's obviously a question I'm asking. Are you reading the Bible every day? But it goes deeper than that. Are you truly communing with Him, fellowshipping with Him, feeding on Him, finding what you need in Him? Have you say, Jody, I'm trying to do that every day. I really am. Would you raise your hand? Be honest. So I'm trying to do that every day. God bless you. God bless you. That's a lot of you. A lot of you. Thank you. Don't stop. Don't stop. You know what you ought to do? If God leads you to thank Him that bread's always fresh on that table. Amen. And it never gets moldy. It never stinks. It's always the same. And it always satisfies. Have you tonight say, Jody, I couldn't raise my hand to that. But if God will help me, I want to begin immediately to take a seat at the table of showbread and feed on Christ daily. I want to walk with Him. I want to talk with Him. I want to feed on Him. I really do. I want to commune with Him. Have you say, Jody, pray for me. This is my desire. I'm not doing that, but I desire to. I really, really do. Be honest. Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. God help you with that. I want to do that too. I'm trying to do it on a daily basis. But my heart's desire is to get better at that. Why don't you come and pray? Ask God to help you. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask Brother Mike just to begin to sing. If God is speaking to you, I want you to leave your place and come. As Brother Mike sings, you come now. Would you do it? Come right now.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. fill with thy spirit, till all shall see Christ only always living in me.
They're playing through. You can look this way. This is Connie right here. Connie came to the church service tonight while I was preaching. Tonight, I guess out in the lobby somewhere, Miss Minetta was speaking to her. And tonight, Connie is trusting Jesus Christ as her Savior. And I've already spoken to her. She said she's not playing games and all of this. That's exciting, isn't it? We praise the Lord for it. These ladies are standing right with her, and I want many of you ladies to come by and shake her hand. Thank her for her decision. Encourage her. And Miss Connie, we'd like for you to stay here with us. We'd love to have you keep coming to Buffalo Ridge. We're glad that you're here. God bless you. Let's be dismissed in prayer. Ask God to be with us. Many of you ladies come this way. If you don't mind to do that, that would be great. I'm going to ask Brother Edgar Gamble, sir, if you don't mind, to please dismiss us in prayer.